Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we got Bob Nightingale of the USA Today joining us to talk baseball. How's it going, Bob?
Yeah, doing great, Scott. Yourself?
I'm hanging in. So my buddy actually made a bet in Vegas. He actually went to the window and made a bet on who would be the first manager fired in baseball, and he cashed a ticket with Brian Price getting fired. That was a nice call by him. This isn't about him getting fired for the start this year. They're terrible. I think it's because ever since he's been their manager, they've been terrible.
Well, I mean, never should have fired Dusty Baker, but then they did rebuild. You know, I don't care if it was Connie Mack. No one's going to win with the team they have. They're rebuilding. It's been an ugly rebuild. I mean, they're light years away from contending. So it doesn't matter. They can change whoever they want. It'd be interesting to see if they get the popular fan choice, which would be Barry Larkin, or try for John Farrell or Joe Girardi or something like that, or even stay with Jim Riggleman. But, you know, it sounds like you're going to spend a whole summer trying to decide what to do.
So right now they'll go Riggleman for, you think, an extended period of months here?
Yeah, I think at least until the All-Star break, if not beyond. I think just kind of taking their time to see who wants this thing and see who the right pick is.
And is that they're willing to give up on the season already? Just that's it? That's just, you know, wing it and lose games and we'll figure out who our next manager is for next year? That's crazy to me.
Yeah, they got such a young team, too. It's injured. I mean, in that division, they're not going anywhere. They're not going to get past the Cubs or the Cardinals or Brewers and not even the Pirates. So, I mean, the Pirates are rebuilding, but they're winning. But the Reds are a long way away from doing anything.
So, what do you think of this Boston team, the way they're just killing everyone and winning every night? I mean, they went out to Anaheim. They've been destroying the Angels. It's 1-1 now in their game tonight in the third. But, I mean, the last couple of nights have been ugly.
Yeah, I was there that first night. And, they're a machine. Yeah, I always thought they're the team to beat. You know, we talked about this, the AL East. But you don't think of them getting off to this kind of start, you know, a 15-2 start. I mean, Mookie Betts, might be the best player on the planet right now, the way he's playing. But, you know, J.D. Martinez has given protection to Haley Ramirez, the starting rotation, best numbers they've had over the start of the season since, 1917. So, yeah, just everything's going right for these guys. I mean, obviously, it's not going to keep up like this, but they're just aggressive hitting machine and just pummeling people.
Yeah, I don't see why it can't keep up, actually. Don't they seem like the kind of team that could go on one of these season-long just – you know, brutal to beat them type teams?
I mean, right now they're on a pace to win by, 150 games? they can run away, but they're not going to be the 27 Yankees. But, yeah, that being said, just everything's going right, and, they got to hope that these guys stay healthy, you know, that Sale, Price, and Porcello, you know, keep doing what they're doing.
Are you surprised at how Price's relationship in that city has been tenuous at best with the fans?
Yeah, just a good guy. He's been a well-respected and admired wherever he's gone. Then all of a sudden, when he gets to Boston, he's a bad guy. I think it'll be very interesting, you know, in the off-season, if he has to put up big numbers, you know, whether he does exercise an opt-out and, maybe goes to a place where appreciated more by the fan base. But, you know, hey, you win a World Series there or something like that, maybe falls in love with it. Who knows?
Bob Nightingale with us, our longtime friend from the USA Today. Do you think you went to the Angels games? I got to ask you about the Ohtani experience. And, you know, you already had been there for, like, Mike Trout's kind of explosion onto the, baseball scene. He's been, like, absolutely like Mickey Mantle playing for them. But it never really changed anything out there, did it, with in regards to their, you know, fans and everything? It's still the Dodgers. It doesn't matter what they put in Anaheim. It's just like no one cares. I mean, they still draw whatever. They'll draw 20, 30,000. But I'm saying, has the Ohtani thing been like, has it been the craziest thing you've ever seen with the Angels ever since you've been covering baseball, seeing that guy show up there? Or is it, has it been Trout?
No, it's much bigger than Trout. I mean, the other night when he started, that was a Tuesday night, and they sold the place out, and it was the second biggest crowd in Angel history, you know, when they since they remodeled the place back in 1998. The last time they had a sellout crowd on a Tuesday was when it was Mike Trout bobblehead all night, you know, 4 years ago. So he's like, yeah, he kind of reminds you of Fernando, Scott.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, when he came up in the early 80s, when they pack a place and people going crazy, it's a little bit like that, where that's all people care about. The stadium's packed. The guys get pumped up. It's just a different buzz on the days he pitches.
Do you think, how do you like the way they're dealing with him? Like, with the, you know, now he had a blister the other night or whatever, and they're saying he's dealt with it before, it's no big deal. What do you prefer seeing him do, pitch or hit or both?
I mean, it's fun to see him do both, but, you know, pitching is why all 30 teams, you know, wanted him. Hitting is just a bonus. Who knows how long he can stay a hitter, you know, whether it's all year, a couple years. I can't see him doing both because it's just too much wear and tear on the body, even though he's just a DH and, you know, and not playing the outfield. So I think as a pitcher, he's got a chance to be a real ace, you know, in the top 10 elite pitchers in the game, if not top 5.
What game are you at tonight?
Arizona, San Francisco. So Pollock just hit a home run for Arizona. So that's why people are going crazy.
They've actually been a pretty tough team early on in the season. Are you surprised without J.D. Martinez that they're actually better?
Yeah, and even without Steven Souza, who they got to replace Martinez, he hasn't played. Jake Lamb hasn't played. I'm surprised how they're doing. And I'm not sure they're going to keep it up. They just lost Taijuan Walker, their starter. We'll see what happens. I think the NL West is most competitive division. I think even if San Francisco hangs around, you can legitimately have four teams with a shot to win the division.
When do you think that Bumgarner will pitch in June? Do you think he'll be back by June?
Yeah, maybe even late May, Scott. I saw him yesterday. He had all these pins stick. I knew he had pins placed in his hand. I didn't know they were sticking out of his hand. like Frankenstein or something. It was unbelievable. But today he got the pins taken out. He says he's going to start throwing playing catch in 2 weeks. So everything's on schedule. So he should be back last week of May, first week of June at the latest.
It doesn't look like that Hosmer thing is working out so far in San Diego.
No, you know, I think that's one of the reasons they wanted him. It's like they need a professional guy in the clubhouse and also to pacify the fans. So I think they had a feeling the team was going to stink. Maybe not, you know, as bad as it is. They keep having injuries. But at least, you know, he can reach out to the community, sell tickets and things like that. It's going to be a while before they're good. And they at least a couple more years. And it's tough because just the division is so powerful, and there's some decent money in that division, you know, particularly with Los Angeles and San Francisco.
Do you think all these people talking about, shortening the season, you have guys saying, the Rizzo guy says he'd rather play fewer games. Now everybody's kind of talking about it again. It's not like I haven't heard this before. How do you feel about it?
Well, I mean, I think the season is too long, but yeah, every time it's been raised to the owners and be in favor of shortening the season, not one hand's gone up. Nobody wants to give away the money, not just the gates, but the TV money they already have per game. And you ask the players, nobody wants to give up, 10% of their salary or whatever it is, and lose money and turn it back. And they'll say, okay, we'll play another 6 or 8 games, no big deal. So I don't see it happening. I really don't.
So what do you think of the scene in New York, Bob Nightingale, about how bad Gio Stanton's career here has started off with the Yankees? I mean, he is just getting abused by fans, and it just gets worse by the night. And then meanwhile, in Queens, the Mets have been kicking ass and taking names. No one saw this coming.
You know, I thought the Mets would be a good team. I didn't think Stanton would struggle like he is. That being said, I remember when he got traded over there, there were some people in the Marlins said, you know, hey, I'm kind of worried about it because he's a private guy, a quiet guy, doesn't like the media spotlight. Let's see how he can handle New York. And, you know, as we're seeing, he's a much different ball player on the road than at home. So, you know, you can say the booze don't bother him, but, you know, it's going to bother anybody. So eventually I think he's going to be all right. You know, it's almost like these free agents. When a guy signs when they're a club in the offseason, it seems like that first year is always the guy's worst year because he puts so much pressure on himself.
Are you serious that, like, I'm going to listen to some guy? Like, I know you're right that they say that he's private and everything, and he likes his, you know, quiet space, and he doesn't like the media and all this other nonsense. But I get it. I'm respectful of that theory, if you will. But honestly, when you hit 59 home runs or whatever it is, and you, get paid what he makes, and seriously, and then when you're as big of a superstar as he really is, I mean, let's face it, now it's going to be bigger than ever. Forget Miami. This is New York. It's going to be bigger than ever. You have got to be kidding me that he cannot handle the media or the spotlight or the boos or anything else. When you're that much of a badass, like, you know, Barry Bonds, you know, he never had a problem with people booing him. He hit more home runs when they booed him. I don't understand why this guy can't handle this job. And what's he going to do, cry and go see his mommy or something?
Well, I'm not saying he can't handle it, but it might affect him more than other guys. You're absolutely right about Bonds. Bonds love being hated. Bonds, remember with Tony Gwynn,
right?
Worked on him to be a good guy, and he couldn't handle it. He just started playing like terrible.
Right.
I need people to hate me. I need to be a jerk on the field. Just a nice guy, and you know, he just needs to make an adjustment. I think he'll be fine. You know, it's just a new team, new league, and trying to impress, you know, 6-8 million fans in New York.
Who do you?
Fans in Miami.
Who do you remember, like, that was better when they were angry, like Goose Gossage? Who do you remember being a better player because they were actually, like, McEnroe was? Who do you remember most in baseball, like anyone, if you will, that was always better, besides Bonds, that was better when he was angry?
Well, Bonds sticks out, but, you know, you remember you know, even a guy like Bob Gibson, you know, loved being angry at people.
Right.
I remember when he would see some of these guys now who retired, and they say, hey, Bob, you remember this guy, right? You know, like another 10-time All-Star. And Bob goes, I never talked to him because he was a hitter. I refuse to talk to anybody in the opposition, even in All-Star games. I want to hate their guts. So, you know, guys like that, just the old school guys, wanted that anger, that chip on their shoulder to make them become as great as they were.
Yeah, Nolan Ryan wasn't always very nice either, was he?
No, same thing. He didn't want to get to know the hitters. I think that All-Star game back in the day was very uncomfortable for the pitchers because they don't want a guy to be a nice guy. They want to be able, next time they see him in a game, they want to throw one at their head or their chin. And, you know, these days there's so much fraternization. And I think that's why baseball quietly loved the fact that Yankees and Red Sox had that brawl. Just to show people that, hey, these teams don't like each other. Certainly the fan bases don't.
There was a lot of brawls in the last couple of weeks breaking out on baseball fields. Bob, always a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of the Diamondbacks game. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Sure, my pleasure.
All right.
Sure, buddy.
All right, my man. Bob Nightingale of the USA Today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.